Most of us are used to this passage. We hear it every year or so. And the young man is possessed by his possessions, is what it is. But is this the point of this passage, that we have to be willing to give up everything if we're going to follow Christ? I think a key sentence here is that the Lord looked at him and loved him. The Lord knew his weaknesses, but he also knew the future. He also knew that he was going to die for that young man because he loved him, and that his love for that young man was the most important thing in the world. But he wasn't ready for it quite yet. The attitude people have is in our culture, and in most cultures, is that people are so often valued by what they have rather than by who they are. It doesn't work, of course. When we're on our deathbed, what really matters is who we are, not what we have. Not long ago, I was looking at a video of Oprah Winfrey, or Oprah Winfrey television program, on which she had as guests the Dominican Sisters of Mary Mother of the Eucharist from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And nothing could stand in greater contrast to what her program was about than the life these Dominican sisters were living. But it was fascinating. They wanted them back. They came back a year or two later, in fact. Because people wonder, what's going on in these people? Why do they want to give up everything? And there's one sister, they asked her if it was hard, and she said she had a very good job. She had a very nice place to live. She had a whole area of her living room for entertainment, you know, television and all the rest. She had fine clothes, expensive clothes. And she said one day she looked at it all and she thought, this stuff doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And it didn't to her, because she had found something more valuable. It was the Lord she wanted, and he was worth more than anything she could think of. The world doesn't understand this insofar as it doesn't love the Lord and doesn't know how. I remember my mother was a role model for several young women, my cousins and even the girl from next door. It wasn't that they didn't notice their mothers, but my mother did it, and she loved being a housewife, and it showed. She loved doing what she did every day. And it was just my cousin the other day that mentioned this, that she had a drawer in the kitchen where she kept linens and things, but she also had a mirror and a comb and a brush and some other things. And just about 10 minutes before she expected my father home, she'd open it and she'd put on makeup and brush her hair and fix herself up. And I do remember as a child asking, what are you doing that for? And she said, because your father's coming home. I want to look nice for him. This didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. He had seen her in the morning the way she really looked. What was the big deal, you know? But she was welcoming him home, and she was showing him that his arrival at home was something to look forward to, and recognizing that he had worked hard all day, and home was a haven. He didn't want more of the same kind of attitude that he experienced all day long. And basically, my mother loved him, and she wanted him to know that each day in this very simple act that she did each day. And she got the idea, believe it or not, at Mass one day. Priest encouraged women to do this. He said, don't look like you've been working hard all day. Your husband knows you have been, but be welcoming to him. And that's where she got the idea. But there were other things that they noticed, the girls noticed about my mother. She did things because she was one with them. And this was part of the generosity of her vocation. This passage today is not about how bad things are. It's all about generosity. When I was a little boy, and this is where my vocation seems to have come from, I was in the second grade, and we went to see a movie, my mother, my father, and myself. And it was The Bells of St. Mary's. And in it, this nun, Ingrid Bergman, is the principal, and she and Bing Crosby, who was the pastor, had their differences. And finally, at the end, she's being removed from the parish because she has TB, but she doesn't know it. They didn't want her to know for some reason. And so the night she was leaving, the sisters were all gathered down with the priest waiting for the taxi, and she's up in the convent chapel praying before the tabernacle. And this was a big thing for me. I had never seen anybody do that, but I was preparing for First Holy Communion, so I was learning about the real presence of the Lord. And it made sense to me that somebody pray in front of the tabernacle. I'd seen people pray in front of the statues, but never in front of the tabernacle. And that made sense to me. And then the other thing was that she gave herself to everyone. She wasn't married. She didn't belong to anybody except the Lord. And that was attractive to me, although I couldn't have articulated it at the time. It wasn't until years and years later, when I was in San Diego, I used to go to a local parish for confession. And one day I went in, and as I was kneeling there before I went into the confessional, an elderly man was coming in a wheelchair. His son was pushing him. And when he got to the confessional, the wheelchair would not fit through the door. So the priest came out, and the son walked away. And I could see, I knew the priest. I could see he had the white alb on and this stole, and I could see his hands. I couldn't see his face, but I saw that man, and as he absolved him, I suddenly realized what it was that attracted me to religious life in the first place. The time that old man was there, he was what the priest was focusing on. Nothing else in the world mattered to him except listening to this elderly man and absolving him. Being Christ to him. Being generous to him. He didn't belong to anybody else. He simply belonged to the Lord. See, there was this element of celibacy involved in it that I had never really clicked on. And I recognized that even though I didn't even know the word celibacy when I was a child, I knew he wasn't married, and I knew he belonged to the Lord, and I knew that he was the Lord's instrument for people. The Lord loved people through him. And that was what clicked. That when I saw that, it just rang bells, you know. It's the generosity of the vocation that drew me. And I think that's what draws people to any vocation. If they think about it, the fidelity to one's spouse, the willingness to sacrifice because of the love one has for the other, for one's children, and for others. When my parents became older, they had no children, but they were still mother and father to other people's children. My dad used to repair bicycles for the children in the neighborhood. They come and they talk. And then years later, they would come just to talk to him. They needed somebody to talk to. I know one young man, his parents were very distant from their children. And he would look up my father to come and talk to him. So my father was acting as a father. Men and women were designed to be mothers and fathers. It comes out one way or another. In religious life, it comes out. Certainly for priests that we call priests father, but even with sisters, you know, in fact, especially with sisters, so often they deal with children all day long, but not only that. I mean, in the order, I was novice master. I was a father to, you know, each class of new men that came in, But it's the generosity the Lord is asking for. And he looked at love with the young man, and the man didn't recognize that yet. But that is what he's telling us about. The only way we can live lives of love, of course, are because the Lord gives us the strength to do it. But he will give it to us because that's what we were created for. This is our vocation as Christians. We express it in different ways, but nothing matters more. Nothing. And I think most people can recognize that. You know, loving the people we love is far more important than what we have. Otherwise, we're not loving them at all. And so the Lord loved us to the point of giving up everything, including his life. And he's God. This is where we receive our strength, recognizing his generosity with every breath we take, with every cell that develops in our bodies, and they're developing continually. Let us be like ourselves. Let us continually grow in our appreciation for his generosity and ask his help in being generous with our lives as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.